In Nature, 27-84, Capron says that because of the moonlight he had been able to do little with the spectroscope. Color white, but aurora rosy, Nature, 27-87. Bright stars seen through it, but not at the zenith, where it looked opaque. This is the only assertion of transparency, Nature, 27-87. Too slow for a meteor, but too fast for a cloud, Nature, 27-86. Surface had a mottled appearance, Nature, 27-87. Very definite in form, like a torpedo, Nature, 27-100. Probably a meteoric object, Dr. Groneman, Nature, 27-296. Technical demonstration by Dr. Groneman, that it was a cloud of meteoric matter, Nature, 28-105. See Nature, 27-315, 338, 365, 388, 412, 434. Very little doubt it was an electric phenomenon, Proctor, Knowledge, 2-419. In the London Times, November 20, 1882, the editor says that he had received a great number of letters upon this phenomenon. He publishes two. One correspondent describes it as well defined and shaped like a fish. Extraordinary and alarming. The other correspondent writes of it as a most magnificent luminous mass, shaped somewhat like a torpedo. 26. Notes and Queries, 5-3-306. About 8 lights that were seen in Wales, over an area of about 8 miles, all keeping their own ground, whether moving together perpendicularly, horizontally, or over a zigzag course. They looked like electric lights disappearing, reappearing dimly, then shining as bright as ever. We have seen them 3 or 4 at a time afterward, on 4 or 5 occasions. London Times, October 5, 1877. From time to time the west coast of Wales seems to have been the scene of mysterious lights. And now we have a statement from Towan that within the last few weeks lights of various colours have been seen moving over the estuary of the Dysynni River, and out to sea. They are generally in a northerly direction, but sometimes they hug the shore, and move at high velocity for miles toward Aberdovey, and suddenly disappear. Elani Scientific, 1877-45. Lights that appeared in the sky, above Vence, France, March 23, 1877, described as balls of fire of dazzling brightness, appeared from a cloud about a degree in diameter, moved relatively slowly. They were visible more than an hour, moving northward. It is said that 8 or 10 years before similar lights or objects had been seen in the sky, at Vence. London Times, September 19, 1848. That, at Inverness, Scotland, 2 large, bright lights that looked like stars had been seen in the sky, sometimes stationary, but occasionally moving at high velocity. Elani Scientific, 1888-66. Observed near St. Petersburg, July 30, 1880, in the evening, a large spherical light and 2 smaller ones, moving along a ravine, visible 3 minutes, disappearing without noise. Nature, 35-173. That, at Iloilo, September 30, 1886, was seen a luminous object the size of the full moon. It floated slowly northward, followed by smaller ones close to it. The false lights of Durham. Every now and then in the English newspapers, in the middle of the 19th century, there is something about lights that were seen against the sky, but as if not far above land, oftenest upon the coast of Durham. They were mistaken for beacons by sailors. Wreck after wreck occurred. The fishermen were accused of displaying false lights and profiting by wreckage. The fishermen answered that mostly only old vessels, worthless except for insurance, were so wrecked. In 1866, London Times, January 9, 1866, popular excitement became intense. there was an investigation. Before a commission, headed by Admiral Collinson, testimony was taken. One witness described the light that had deceived him as considerably elevated above ground. No conclusion was reached, the lights were called the mysterious lights. But whatever the false lights of Durham may have been, they were unaffected by the investigation. In 1867, the Tyne Pilotage Board took the matter up. Opinion of the Mayor of Tyne: a mysterious affair. In the report of the British Association, 1877-152, there is a description of a group of meteors that traveled with remarkable slowness. They were in sight about 3 minutes. Remarkable, it seems, is scarcely strong enough. One reads of remarkable as applied to a duration of 3 seconds. These meteors had another peculiarity: they left no train. They are described as seemingly huddled together like a flock of wild geese, and moving with the same velocity and grace of regularity. Jure. Roy. Astro. SOC of Canada, November and December, 1913. That, according to many observations collected by Professor Chant, of Toronto, there appeared, upon the night of February 9, 1913, a spectacle that was seen in Canada, the United States, and at sea, and in Bermuda. A luminous body was seen. To it there was a long tail. The body grew rapidly larger. Observers differ as to whether the body was single, or was composed of 3 or 4 parts, with a tail to each part. The group, or complex structure, moved with a peculiar, majestic deliberation. It disappeared in the distance, and another group emerged from its place of origin. Onward they moved, at the same deliberate pace, in 2s or 3s or 4s. They disappeared. A third group, or a third structure, followed. Some observers compared the spectacle to a fleet of airships, others to battleships attended by cruisers and destroyers. According to one writer, there were probably 30 or 32 bodies, and the peculiar thing about them was their moving in 4s and 3s and 2s, abreast of one another, and so perfect was the lining up that you would have thought it was an aerial fleet maneuvering after rigid drilling. Nature, May 25, 1893. A letter from Capt. Charles J. Norcock, of HMS Caroline. That, upon the 24th of February, 1893, at 10 p.m., between Shanghai and Japan, the officer of the watch had reported some unusual lights. They were between the ship and a mountain. The mountain was about 6,000 feet high. The lights seemed to be globular. They moved sometimes massed, but sometimes strung out in an irregular line. They bore northward, until lost to sight. Duration 2 hours. The next night the lights were seen again. They were, for a time, eclipsed by a small island. They bore north at about the same speed and in about the same direction as speed and direction of the Caroline. But they were lights that cast a reflection, there was a glare upon the horizon under them. A telescope brought out but few details, that they were reddish, and seemed to emit a faint smoke. This time the duration was 7.5 hours. Then Capt. Norcock says that, in the same general locality, and at about the same time, Capt. Castle, of HMS Leander, had seen lights. He had altered his course and had made toward them. The lights had fled from him. At least, they had moved higher in the sky. Monthly Weather Review, March, 1904-115. Report from the observations of 3 members of his crew by Lieutenant Frank H. Schofield, USN, of the USS Supply. February 24, 1904. 3 luminous objects, of different sizes, the largest having an apparent area of about 6 suns. When first sighted, they were not very high. They were below clouds of an estimated height of about 1 mile. They fled, or they evaded, or they turned. They went up into the clouds below which they had, at first, been sighted. Their unison of movement. But they were of different sizes, and of different susceptibilities to all forces of this earth and of the air. Monthly Weather Review, August, 1898-358. Two letters from C. N. Krotzenberg, Crow Agency Montana. That, in the summer of 1896, when this writer was a railroad postal clerk or one who was experienced in train phenomena while his train was going northward, from Trenton, MO, he and another clerk saw, in the darkness of a heavy rain, a light that appeared to be round, and of a dull rose color, and seemed to be about a foot in diameter. It seemed to float within 100 feet of the earth, but soon rose high, or midway between horizon and zenith. The wind was quite strong from the east, but the light held a course almost due north. Its speed varied. Sometimes it seemed to outrun the train considerably. At other times it seemed to fall behind. The mail clerks watched until the town of Linville, Iowa, was reached. Behind the depot of this town, the light disappeared, and was not seen again. All this time there had been rain, but very little lightning, but Mr. Krotzenberg offers the explanation that it was ball lightning. The editor of the review disagrees. He thinks that the light may have been a reflection from the rain, or fog, or from leaves of trees, glistening with rain, or the train's light not lights. In the December number of the review is a letter from Edward M. Boggs that the light was a reflection, perhaps, from the glare one light, this time from the locomotive's firebox, upon wet telegraph wires, an appearance that might not be striated by the wires, but consolidated into one rotundity that it had seemed to oscillate with the undulations of the wires, and had seemed to change horizontal distance with the varying angles of reflection, and had seemed to advance or fall behind, when the train had rounded curves. All of which is typical of the best of quasi-reasoning. It includes and assimilates diverse data, but it excludes that which will destroy it. That, acceptably, the telegraph wires were alongside the track beyond, as well as leading to Linville. Mr. Krotzenberg thinks of ball lightning, which, though a sore bewilderment to most speculation, is usually supposed to be a correlate with the old system of thought, but his awareness of something else is expressed in other parts of his letters, when he says that he has something to tell that is so strange that I should never have mentioned it, even to my friends, had it not been corroborated. So unreal that I hesitated to speak of it, fearing that it was some freak of the imagination.